This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Laying a Foundation for a Great Year, Part 1, was delivered on January 3rd, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. We're so used to saying, go ahead, ushers. But because we're social distancing, we're not passing the bucket, but there's an acrylic box by the coffee table. You can drop off your tithes and offerings. But I want to thank you so much for being here. For those of you online and for those of you here, don't forget at the ending of service, we are going to do communion. So if you haven't gotten your communion cup, you can maybe raise your hand. Pastor Aaron will probably throw one at you. Nobody's raising their hand, so you can go and get it if you don't want to. If you can't catch it. All right, so yeah, I want to encourage you on Sundays, bring your Bibles so you can get into the Word. Grab a reading plan, and if that's not enough, we have journals, $5. And in the journal, there's an instruction on how we read and do the soap thing, so that's there for you. For those of you online, if you want to get to these notes, you can go to our website and just keep going down on the left-hand side. There's a place you can download the notes. So I want to say good morning to Marsha in California, Marsha over here, Linda, Shirley, Lisa, all of AJ. Good to have all of you online joining us, and there's a lot more. Thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to start the year kind of trying to lay a foundation so that we can have a fantastic year, no matter what. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for getting us through last year, for carrying us through. Lord, we pray for 2021 that we would have a better year, a more fruitful year, more disciples, reaching more people, saving the lost, and equipping the saved, and continuing our spiritual growth and walk with you. We thank you so much that we still get to meet. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was reading my Bible this morning, and I'm in Genesis, and I hope you are too. But like I said, I'm 3 days ahead just to make sure I know what's coming up for the rest of the church. And I was reading about Abram. And you know, God said, your descendants is going to be numerous than the stars. And I was thinking like, oh man. And you know, and the Bible says Abraham believed and he counted him as righteous. It's like, man, that's faith, because he didn't have any kids yet. His wife was barren. And God told him his descendants could be as numerous as the stars. But he never had kids. So I was thinking like, he believed. It's like, wow. How is that? He believed. Even, you know, even if everything seemed on the wrong side, like the negative side, the no way, not even close can happen. But we believe. And those kinds of things that we get when we read the Bible. And I'm thinking, like, you know, for us, yeah, I got this Christmas gift. And I was like, I was thinking, this is so cool. And I have so many friends here in this church, but not everybody wants to hang out with me. And I'm thinking like, okay, and this mug was clearly stated. It says, Pastor, warning, anything you say and do will be used in a sermon. No wonder nobody like hanging out with me. Oh boy, I love all you guys. But that's the truth. You know, when we go fishing, you're gonna end up in one sermon. When we hang out together, you're going to end up in a sermon. When you do something not so smart, like light fireworks in the wrong way, you're going to end up in a sermon. You know, all those things. That's how we get our illustrations, from hanging out with you. Right? Oh, but it's going to be a great year. And who knows what 2021 will bring. Some of us, we will make great spiritual gains. Some of us may not even be in church at the end of the year. Some will have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Some of us, sadly, will lose loved ones. We don't know what 2021 brings. So how do we deal with the unknown? How do we make sure that we persevere through every trial that comes our way in 2021? And how many of you know that this year you will have trials? Yeah? If you don't know, I'm telling you now, you will. That's just the way it is. And as the new year begins, it's time for us to consider what significance of 2020. What happened? What did we learn? Where do we go from here? You know, the new year comes, and what will it be? A repeat of last year? Will it be a continuation? Will it be an improvement? Well, I think in order for it to be an improvement of last year, I think it depends on us. When we read and we understand the command of God in Matthew, which says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, we find ourselves wondering, how might I best seek God first and his righteousness? How might I best obey him in 2021? How will I best obey God this year? You know, like God told Abraham, your descendants gonna be more numerous than the stars. And he said, great, I believe you. And you know, when God called Abraham out of his home country, he said, go. And he went. He was obedient. You know, in 2020, we lost a lot of people. And it seems like the freedoms that we had, we took for granted. You know, freely going to the beach, freely going out to restaurants to eat. I think everything was put on a limit or maybe even taken away. We had a lot of restraints. And if we look at last year, what could we learn? If anything, maybe for me, maybe I learned that, I took all of my freedoms for granted. Even when they told us, okay, no gatherings, and we went straight from 120 people every week, maybe to in our office with 9 people, 8 people, just to get the word out on Facebook. And it was like so different. People wanted to come to church, but we kind of had to tell them, you gotta stay away. Especially those who couldn't connect online. They had no way to get fed from being at church or the fellowship. And I think we took a lot of that for granted. And when we understand that Jesus beat death, and we understand that being on Team Jesus, Jesus wins the battle of life, and the powers of hell will not prevail against the army of God and his church. Amen? When we get to know God in an intimate, in-depth way, you and I, we can have perfect peace, no matter if there is chaos all around us. You know, when this COVID thing hit last year, how many of you was so deathly afraid you didn't want to go out? How many of you trusted in God and had peace? It's like, peace, don't worry, because if I get it, I get it. If I die, where you go? And how bad could heaven be, right? So those of us who trust God, there was like a perfect peace. We weren't afraid to worship together. We weren't afraid to go to church. And you know, I seen some people where, man, they didn't even want to bump your elbow. It's like they were so like, oh no, we don't do that. Like, whoa. It's like, wow. Some people you want to hug them and they're like, whoa, back up. But some people, you know, your brothers in Christ, you see them in the store, and you go like this, and they go like this, and they give you a hug. And everybody's looking at you, oh, these guys are crazy. They're mental. What's wrong with them? They're not supposed to be hugging each other in public, too. And the two guys, hey, we love each other. Our brothers, we love each other. And I ran into my brother in one of the stores in town just before Christmas, and man, I give him a big hug because I haven't seen him in a while. I have no worries because I have peace. And I believe God will protect us. Of course, I'm not going to be ignorant and go around without my mask to a big party and, you know, yelling and screaming and stuff like that. But when we understand these things and when we have that relationship with God, we will have peace. In John 14, 27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Here, Jesus is instructing his disciples before he goes to the cross to be crucified, that one day, when he is gone, they will not be alone, but the Holy Spirit will be there with them. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is deep and lasting peace. See, unlike worldly peace, which usually they can say worldly peace is might be the absence of conflict, this peace that Jesus Christ gives us is confident assurance that in any circumstances we will have his peace. And we have no need to fear the present or the future. So moving forward, I want to give us a foundation to help us get through this year, no matter the circumstances that surround us. That the world could be blowing up around you like New Year's Eve. Man, it was like, I was thinking, I wonder if this was, it's like, you know, in the Middle East when there's war, with like boom, 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 boom. You see the flash of light and then you hear boom. You know, and I wonder what that's like. And so the world could be crumbling around you if you would have peace. And the first point is attitude. We got to have the right attitude. That is so, so very important. Philippians 2, 3 and 8, in Paul's letter to the Philippian church, he tells them, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Hard to do, yeah? Somebody is more important than you. I want the last donut. No. You can have the last donut. And I will be on my diet. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. I want to do this. I want that. I want to live here. But also for the interest of others. You know, when I do counseling between a couple, I always like to read this scripture. Consider others more important than yourself. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. This is God now. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, if you think about Jesus' attitude, he didn't consider himself, you know, up there with God. He took the form of a human. Although he was God, he was 100% God, 100% man. And he took the form of a man to come to this earth to serve, even to give his life as ransom, so that you and I, by the shedding of his blood, could be forgiven of our sins. He gave his life. Paul's letter to the Philippians is telling us we need to be Christ-like. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on Christ. Right? We need to say, man, I gotta take my eyes and stop looking at myself and taking my selfies and check myself out. Yeah, oh. Maybe the only time I do that is to check if I get food in my teeth or a booger hanging up my nose. Yeah, I'm really, you can tell that I'm not good at selfies because when I'm holding the thing with one hand, I cannot even reach the button with my finger. I don't know how people do that. Some people are so good at that. You see them all over the place. So in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he's telling us to be Christ-like. Take our eyes off ourselves, put them on Christ. We are to lay aside selfishness. Treat others with respect and courtesy, considering others' interests more important than our own selves. When we can do that, it unites us with Christ. And Christ was like the perfect, true example of humility. Jesus Christ was humble. He was willing to give up his rights in order to obey God, serve people. Like Christ, you and I, we should have that servant's attitude, serving God out of love. Love for God, love for others. Not because we feel guilty, not because we feel obligated to. Remember this, you can choose to put on the right attitude every day. That's something important, because a lot of things in life we cannot control. We cannot control the long lines. We cannot control the guy driving who might go through the red light. We cannot control our neighbor who chooses to blow up bombs at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake you up, right? We cannot control them, but we can control what attitude we put on every day, right? We get up in the morning. Oh, thank you, good morning, Lord, breath of life. Or get up and, oh, good Lord, it's morning, right? We have that choice. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without without complaining or disputing. Do all things, all right? That includes driving and waiting in line at the rubbish dump. How many of you waited in that line yesterday? How many of you wasn't smart enough not to go to the rubbish dump yesterday? How many of you should have gone this morning? See, Doc was smart. He brought his rubbish to church. 6:20, he left for the rubbish. See, that's why he's a doctor, because he's smart. He didn't go yesterday. Yes. Do all things without complaining or disputing, including waiting in line. That's why I don't go to the post office. Because I know if I go to the post office, I will grumble. How many of you waited in line while people in front of you talk story? And it's like, come on, seriously? And you grumble, so I think I just gotta stay at home. See, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among you, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Whoa! So when we can do things without grumbling, disputing, complaining, man, we are lights. Imagine when we, they know we go to New York East Hawaii, they know we're standing in line, and they know we're grumbling. Oh my gosh, who's your pastor? I better go talk to that guy. Paul tells the Philippian church to do things without disputing, without complaining, without fighting, in other words. This day and age, man, it's hard to do, yeah? Because you just hop in the car and you drive down the road and you hit traffic or you hit people speeding or you hit people going through red lights. You grumble. I grumble. Can we actually go from point A to point B without complaining? How many of you had problems coming to church complaining about anything? Yeah, we have a few honest people here. I had a say. This morning I came to church, beautiful, no rain, nothing, and I said, Lord, why couldn't you do this just today when I was off? You know, it's like maybe sometimes it just does the rain thing to get me to not work. Maybe it's a sign of telling me to rest. Usually when God wants me to rest, he will get me sick, and then I have to rest, because like I always say, sleep is just overrated. I slept enough of my life when I was a young kid. So he's telling the Philippians, do things without complaining. Drive your car without complaining. Stand in line without complaining. Go through the grocery store without complaining. Live with your family without complaining. Sometimes I think we have so many things that we can complain about. We can complain even when the sun is shining. Like, oh, it's too hot. When it's raining, oh, it's too wet. We have so many things that we can complain about that we forget God's blessing. Now, if you were to write down a list of all God's blessings, I bet you it'll far outweigh the things that are wrong. We take things for granted. We become less appreciative. And we complain. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So he's telling us, hey, look and focus on the good things. Because for me, when I drive, if I look for the bad things, you notice that's all I see, right? If you look at all for the guys who run the red light, that's all you will see. If you look at all the people who do make traffic moving violations, that's all you'll see. But if you look for the good things, if you focus on the good things, that's what you'll see. If I look at my spouse and I focus on all the good things that she does, then that's what I will see. If I look at the children and I look at all the bad things that they do, that's what I will see. But if I look for the good things, that's what I will see. So whatever things are noble, things are just, pure, loving, good report, you know, meditate, look for those things. Philippians 4:9, these things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, so the things that you see and read, I will tell you the things that you see me do and say do, but sometimes some stuff comes out of my mouth like, oh boy, and I do stuff that, uh-oh. So, don't, you know, I try to tell you, don't look at me, because when I trip and fall, you will follow me. But look to God. Look to God, because if you look to God, you can never go wrong. Amen?
Amen.
So, we can adjust our attitude to be more Christ-like, and we get to get through this life better. We get to get through this life better and not bitter. If you just take the I out of bitter and change it to E for everyone, it becomes better. We cannot control many things in life, but our attitude is one thing you have control over. You control your attitude. You control how you take things. You can take things and get better, or you can take things and be bitter. Okay, and then next one. Choose to trust God no matter what. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light. Choose to trust God, because God has your best interest. Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? You know, because of all there's so much ill effects of worry. You know, Jesus tells us not to worry about those things that we need, that God promises to supply. You know, I worried, for one season in my life, I was so stressed, so worried, so concerned about tomorrow. And about, you know, like I told you before, when my boss would tell you Friday afternoon, I gotta talk to you Monday. All weekend long you would worry. It's a terrible feeling. I wasn't mature enough in the Lord to understand not to worry. So I worried. But when I matured and I realized that God is in control and that I love Him, He loves me, He's going to make sure He has my best interest. When somebody told me, I need to talk to you, and not in a good voice, then the first thing is like, oh, should I worry? Should I not? No, I don't need to worry. Why would I worry? God got this. When the doctor told me I had cancer, did I worry for 30 seconds or so? Then after that, I said, wow, I'm going to be in heaven pretty soon. He needed me here, so I guess that wasn't in his plan. You know, worry would damage your health. It would disrupt your productivity. It has so much negative effects on you and the way you treat others. Worry reduces your ability to trust in God. Are you experiencing any ill effects? Maybe it's because of worry. Now, there's a difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes you. It's like paralyzed. Concern moves you into action. So if you worry, change it into concern, and what you can do about it is pray. Amen? You know, you can learn to trust God one prayer at a time, one small step at a time. I didn't get to where I am today in my faith all of a sudden. It started by one small step of obedience at a time. And my faith and trust in God began to grow. Number two, choose to surround yourself with positive, godly people. How many of you know that is important? You know, surrounding yourself, and you know, if you put a seed in the right environment, it'll grow. If you put a seed in the freezer, will it grow? No. If you put the seed in a fire, will it grow? No. But if you put it in the right environment, it will grow. 2 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now you may have the best intentions of all. Saying, I'm going to go to the bar to save people. But if you're not strong enough, you're going to end up conforming to them. Now if you choose to hang around worldly people, they'll probably give you this kind of advice. Let's go out and have a drink. Yeah, how many of you have been there, done that? How many of you was the guy saying, let's go out and have a drink? Yeah, I can read both hands. Trying to undo all the damage I did. Now that's, and if, when you have relational problems, they're gonna say, drop them like a bad habit. With your children, kick them out of the house. Good riddance. But you surround yourself with good, godly people, they will give you a scripture to lean on. They will be there to pray for you, to encourage you, to build you up, not to tear you down, and not to tell you to do harmful things. Because in the world, when you have problems, they say, hey, let's go have a drink. And when you wake up the next morning with your pockets empty and a headache, problems are still there. But in a godly world, with a godly person, they will pray for you. They will sing praises with you. They will give you a scripture to lean on. They will encourage you. So you will have peace. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15. The other scriptures in there, I'm sorry, but that's for next week's messages. And when I move my points around, I forgot to take those two, so those will be for next week. But 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? You know, Paul here is urging believers, don't team up, don't form partnerships with unbelievers. Because this might cause you to stumble, it might weaken your faith. You know, it might change your integrity or commitment or your standards. It might be a mismatch. You have certain values, they have different values. If you form a partnership with an unbeliever, they might want to cut corners. And your character says, no, we're not going to cut corners. Of course, you might change them and you might win them over, but Paul said, don't do that. But he urges Christians, he urges us, you know, even to go so far as stay with your unbelieving spouse because you might save them. He wants believers to be active in our witness for Christ to unbelievers. But he doesn't want us to lock ourselves into a personal business relationship that could compromise our faith. I think that's what he's saying here. As believers, you and I, we should do everything in our power to avoid stuff that could force us to kind of split our loyalty. You know, if you're thinking of forming a business with an unbelieving partner, you might want to consider what the scripture is saying and look for someone who has the same values, same goals. You know, we should do everything in our power to avoid certain things that could cause us to divide our loyalties. These points that I share today for you and I, it's all a choice. You can choose whether to apply them or not. They say that the message from the pulpit should call us into some kind of action. And I pray that your action would be to put on an attitude that honors Christ. I pray that you would choose to trust God through everything that you are going through right now. Give it to God, put it in His hand, and let His peace rule over you. And I pray that you would choose your friends wisely. And if you choose me, well, you might just end up in a sermon. Yeah? So, if you just choose your friends wisely, choose the guys you know, come to our men's ministry, because there's a lot of other men that come here that don't come up here and speak. So you gotta just come to men's ministry. Look, kid, Mike, he does a sermon, I stay away from him. Pastor Aaron, he does a sermon, I stay away from him. Walt, he comes up here and speaks and shit, I stay away from him. James is singing on the worship team, I'd stay far from him. I would not even go fishing with him. I would not go fishing on the boat with them, because I would end up in their sermon about how much times, you know what? So, I hope that this message will move you out of your seats into action. Put on that attitude. Trust God. Find some friends who would steer you in the right direction. Amen. That is so important. And next week, we're going to continue, because I have like 5 more points that we can lay down a foundation. So 2021, no matter what the devil throws at us, still be smiling. We'll have God's peace. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. Amen. So catch us next week, all right? Those of you on Facebook, I want to, we're going to have communion. You guys ready? Start the year off with communion? Yeah, you ready? Okay, Jen, are you doing communion for us? Yes, Pastor Dennis, where's that mic? So grab your cups, grab your juice.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, thank you so very much for allowing me the privilege of leading us in communion this morning. And like Pastor mentioned earlier, if you haven't already done so, go grab your elements up at the front table. So communion is an act of gratitude and remembrance of the death of Jesus Christ, and it signifies our relationship with him through the new covenant. Scripture tells us that communion is a permanent ordinance and command that was set in place by Jesus Christ until he comes again. Now, the act of communion uses bread to symbolize the body of Jesus, which was broken and beaten, and the wine represents his blood that was poured out for us. As we take communion this morning, let us remember his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Let us examine ourselves and confess our sins to God and proclaim him as Lord and Savior over our lives. So when I saw that I was going to get to come up and do communion with you folks, it made me really think about what Jesus went through on the cross and the sacrifice he made, and made me think of my family, my husband, and my children, and the things that my husband went through and continues to go through, the things that my children are going through. And you know, as a mom, as a wife, as a sister, a daughter, I would take those things from them in a heartbeat. It's not even a question. I would take the pains, I would take everything from them so they didn't have to go through that. And it made me think, that's what Jesus did. He went on that cross, he knew what was gonna happen, and he did it anyway, so that we don't have to. So if you please join me as I pray over our communion this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much for loving us the way that you do. As we take the bread representing your life that was broken for us, let us remember and celebrate your faithfulness to us and to all who receive you. I can't begin to fathom the agonizing suffering of your crucifixion, yet you took that pain for us. You died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your extravagant love and unmerited favor. Thank you that your death gave us life, an abundant life now, and an eternal life forever. As you instructed your disciples, we too receive this bread in remembrance of you. You can take up the bread. And in the same way, as we take this cup representing your blood poured out from a splintered cross, we realize that you were the supreme sacrifice for all of our sin, past, present, and future. You can take up the cup. Because of your blood that you shed for us, and your body broken for us, we can be free from the power of and penalty of sin. Thank you for your victory over death. You took the death that we deserve. You took our punishment. Your pain was indeed our gain. And today we remember and celebrate the precious gift of life that you gave us through the outpouring of your blood. As we take communion this morning, Lord, let us recommit our lives, our hearts, our thoughts, and our everything back to you. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Ooh, what a good stop to this year, yeah? But would you stand with us and let's finish up our gathering here today with singing how good God is once again.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.